Okay. I want to, as always, thank Danielle and the Kopels for opening up their bias to learn Torah together. It should be a big schus for them, and for the whole mishpacha, for just for simcha and bracha.
Amen.
So we all know we're sitting here, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos Nachamu. Shabbos Nachamu is something that people get excited for. Obviously, we're no longer in the days of Bein HaMetzar, we're longer in the 3 weeks, in the 9 days, in Tisha B'Av, and all the halachos that bind us a little bit to that mourning period. And we're gonna daven, and we're gonna lane, and we're gonna hear the haftorah of Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami, the beginning of the Sheva, the Nachamta, the 7 weeks of consolement, of comfort. But the obvious question we have to ask, the obvious question every Yid should ask these days, is we're here, it's Thursday night. It was only 2 days ago, literally 2 days ago, that we were sitting on the floor, hopefully not just saying kinos, but crying kinos. A couple nights ago, a few nights ago, we were listening to Eicha, we were fasting, we were in the middle of Avelos of Churban Beis HaMikdash. And last time I checked, nothing's changed. We haven't yet heard the shofar blow. There's still a mosque on top of Har HaBayis, as far as we know, sitting here in Chutz La'aretz. And we're going to have a Shabbos Nachamu. Where's the comfort? Where's the consolement? You know, Mamish, you could imagine, Lahavdil, imagine a mishpacha sitting shiva for a loved one. Lo aleinu, none of us should know from that. But a mishpacha sitting shiva for a loved one, and comes Shabbos, and not a vada, of course. Shabbos comes, and Shabbos is this man where you're not supposed to be in the same, obviously, in Avelos, it's a time of simcha, and definitely before Hesya, publicly you're not allowed to be in Avelos on Shabbos. But lemais, imagine, so a family has Shabbos Kodesh after Shiva, and not only do they go to shul and have Shabbos Udas like they're supposed to, they decide, you know what? Shabbos, we just had Shiva, let's throw a Kiddush in our house. Let's throw a kiddush and invite all our friends and have a beautiful social gathering and besimcha. It would be very, very strange. Be very, very strange to find a mishpacha that just sat shiva to throw a kiddush the first Shabbos after shiva. Makes no sense. And the whole community would be talking about such a mishpacha. How could they be throwing a kiddush? They just sat shiva. So we come and we're going to enter into Shabbos Nachamu. And we're going to have a Shabbos Nachamu, and up in the country, places during concerts usually, I don't know, Minyan Matzei Shabbos, and it's a beautiful Shabbos, and something special and different. And where's the Nechama? Where's the Nechama? Nothing changed. Nothing's changed. We're here, and we're still in a Zman of Churban. We're still in Galus. So on one hand, we've said over many times that every Yid has to always live with two hearts. The Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, talks about how a Yid has to live with two hearts. And you have simultaneously, in a certain sense, a heart which understands the Galus and the Tzaros of Klal Yisrael, with bechios, with tears, but a heart that's always connected to Eibishter, connected to Rabbono Shalom, and understanding Kol Ma'adav Rachman al-Tav of it, that everything Hashem does is for good. And therefore, there's a time to cry and a time to laugh, even if things haven't changed necessarily. We know Kol Ma'adav Rachman al-Tav of it, and therefore I can get up and there's a tat in Hamel, and I'm going to have a nechama just knowing that. And that's how we lay in Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami. The Nechama comes that you're Ami, that you're my nation. That we're the nation of the Rabbono Shalom. That it's the Rabbono Shalom runs the world. The Rabbono Shalom is deciding that we need Tzaris for the time being. And that itself is a Nechama. That know that the Rabbono Shalom is watching over us. It's all coming from the Eibishter. It's all coming from the Rabbono Shalom. On one end, that's for sure true. But there's no question that we have to look into the parasha to find other terutzim, other answers, other ways to be menachem ourselves, to comfort ourselves, to console ourselves. As you have to live with the parasha, every yid has to live with the parasha. So parashas Veschanan. Parashas Veschanan is a very special parasha full of a lot of nechama. Parashas Veschanan is a very special parasha full of nechama. And I think in this parasha is where we're going to find the emes, the terutim, to really find the nechama. Just to also share, by the way, all the Torah that we learn and all the nechama that we're going to gain from this parasha should also be, we should have in mind, Leila Nishmas, Moshe, Aaron, Yehoshua, Ben Eliezer Zosman. Who's this? Yudit's father. Yudit's father, Yudit Gluck's father, whose Yahrzeit is upcoming Tu B'Av, Mamish, in a few days from now. So we should all have in mind all this learning should be Linish Maso. And we should have in mind our learning on Tu B'Av as well, again, from Moshe, Aaron, Yeshua, Ben Eliezer Zosman, Neshama Shav Aliyah, and he should be a Melech Yosher for his beautiful Mishpacha and for all of Klal Yisrael, and Bez Hashem, we'll have Bias Mashiach, Bekar of Mamish. So where is the Nechama going to come for us for now? So this week's parasha, we all know, Parashas Veschanan, has Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkein Hashem Echad. First and foremost, it's that message that we just spoke about. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkein Hashem Echad. To know, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Elokeinu, Elokim, is Midas Adin. But it's Hashem is Midas Rachmim. Yudkei Vavkei is Midas Rachmim, is mercy. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When we say Shema, every time we say Shema, what we're saying is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The same Hashem who is full of Rachmim is Elokeinu, is the one who is full of Din, but it's all one. And we have to believe that, and we have to know that. And that's Kol Ma'adav Rechman Al-Tavavid. There's no greater Nechama than Amuna, and we see that in the Parsha. But I want to take it one step further. There's a Medrash in Eicha Rabbah, in the Pesichta, in the beginning of Eicha Rabbah. There's a Medrash, and we, those of us that were together, Tisha B'Av morning, we spoke about this a little bit. There's a Medrash that equates and talks about the connection, the kesher, between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. In fact, whenever Pesach, Lel Seder, is always the upcoming Lel Tisha B'Av. It's the same night. If you think back, this previous year, our Seder night was Monday night. Our first Seder night was Monday night. And the first day of Pesach was Tuesday, and we just had Tisha B'Av was Monday night, Tuesday. It's always the same day of the week. And the Medrash talks, and based on a pasuk in Eicha, says that these are very connected. How are Pesach and Tisha B'Av very connected? So Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to stay connected in the following way. Just like Pesach and Tisha B'Av seem like complete opposites. Is it contrast? Pesach is Geula and Tisha B'Av is Golus. But on Pesach, we remember and we read through. It's Lel Seder Maschel Begenusu Messiah Bishvach. We're supposed to read through the Avdusis first. We start talking about the slavery and the bitter gullus of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, and the 190 years of Avodas Parach, of backbreaking labor. And then we finally get to Gula, we get to redemption. And it's tremendously inspiring and exciting. And we go through the Ten Makos. And we go through Kiryas Yamsuf, and ultimately Imam and Har Sinai. But let's remember, Lel Seder, we remember that we were mamish in the deepest of Gaulis, in the darkest of places, physically being physically destroyed by the Mitrim, spiritually, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Spiritually, we were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we were idol worshippers just like the Mitrim. We were on the 49th level of Tumah, we all learned that, right? We're in the lowest of low. So we're in the lowest place spiritually. We're in the lowest of places physically. We can't imagine if we were mamish there. If we were there, imagine, you know, let's try a little. 100 years into that gullus, what people were thinking, what people were feeling, and it was so dark, and there was no light at the end of the tunnel. And suddenly, a Moshe Rabbeinu is born. And a Moshe Rabbeinu somehow miraculously is raised in the palace of the king. And then comes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts bringing the Nisim Gluyim, the revealed miracles of the Makos, and eventually Chris Yamsuf. It's amazing and spectacular. It's an amazing story. They made a whole movie out of it, right? It's big stuff. Must be big. If they made a movie out of it, must be big. But it's incredibly inspiring. The connection of Tisha B'Av is to remind us so too is going to be with this Galus. Yeah, it's true, Galus feels so long and so dark. And we can't even, as much as we say, we try to say, Ani Mamim, Be'muna Shalayim, B'chol Yom Shiyavo, we try to believe and say I believe, and really that Mashiach's going to come. Let's be real, how many of us can really imagine and believe that any moment Mashiach's going to come, and there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to all be in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, it's an amazing thing to think about and to dream about. But when you start to think about Pesach, it gives you that chizik, it gives you that inspiration to say, just like Pesach was and had the Gula, so too will be by us. So too will be by us. It's going to be. And I'm sure all of you saw he came out with it years ago already, Yaakov Shweki has a music video, Cry No More. Right, I'm sure you all saw it. And Cry No More, if you think about it, right, it's this very powerful music video. And it's going through gullus and tragedies and terror attacks. And some of them real and some of them fabricated a little bit and whatever it might be. But like going through a storyline of gullus. But the framework is all around the story of Pesach. If you pay attention, right, from the beginning, it's this Leil Seder and this Ani, this man who's impoverished and in the music video has to find a little wine to have for his Seder, even though his son is sick with cancer, right? And it ends with Geula. The music video ends with the Geula Shleima, ends with Bias Mashiach and Binyan Bayis Shlishi. Right, you remember the scene from on top of Eish HaTorah? So you see that connection in that video, that connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. And that's our nechama. Our nechama is to remember there's going to be a geula. It's not bleak, it might feel that way, but there's going to be. And we gain that chizik from a Pesach. Spoke a little bit about this before the 31st Kina, this past Wednesday morning, which is maybe the most famous of Kinos that we say because we sing it. That Kina you all know when we sing about how the contrast of Betzeitzi Mimitzrayim and Betzeitzi Mirushalayim. And sometimes if you look at that Kina, it could be looked at as depressing. It could be looked at as, oh, so amazing when we left Mitzrayim. Look at us now, we're 2,000 years after leaving Yerushalayim. But I believe just the opposite. I believe we sing that kina specifically to give us chizuk and to remind us, just like we left Mitzrayim, we're going to leave. And yeah, unfortunately we had to leave Yerushalayim, but we're going to be shuvi Yerushalayim, just like we ended up leaving Mitzrayim. And that's the nechama for each of us, to know it's going to happen, it's going to be okay. You know, I'll never forget. This goes back to the summer of 1996. You guys were born yet? Some of you?
I'm three.
Okay. Okay. Summer of 1996 was the summer after my 11th grade in high school. Summer of 1996. And I was in NCSY Kollel for that summer. And back then, some of you maybe have siblings or people you know in NCSY Kollel now. For many years already, I believe starting in the summer of 2001, NCSY Kollel has been in Beit Meir on Or Yerushalayim Yeshiva, Or Yerushalayim OJ's campus. So back when I was in NCSY Kollel, the summer of 96 and many other summers. I had the schus to spend 5 summers. My first year married, I was there. It used to be in Efrat. It's really, really beautiful. It's really an amazing location, amazing campus. So It was that summer after 11th grade. I'm sitting Tisha B'Av morning in Ein Tzitz Raikola on the base Medrash in Efrat. And I'm sitting there on the floor, and they're having kinos, and they have the different madrichim introducing the kinos. And I remember I'm sitting there on the floor. I remember this like yesterday. I'm sitting there on the floor, and maybe it was like a half hour into the kinos, and I think to myself, what am I doing here? If I have the schuz to be in Eretz Yisrael for Tisha B'Av, why am I sitting here in Efrat? Why wouldn't I be sitting at the Kaisel Ma'aravi, as close as I could be to Makom Migdash, and be able to feel a little bit more, and be able to read the kinos in that Makom? What am I doing here? Now, I was young and immature and irresponsible, and I'm not saying I should have done what I did. But so when I decided, again, I'm just a camper after 11th grade, I decided I'm getting out of there. And I also decided, I saw a few guys that I was closest that were a year younger than me, that I convinced and told them that they should come with me. The truth is, because I did this summer after 10th grade also, by myself. That's a whole other discussion. So I figured I could do it again. So I convinced them to come with me. Some of you may know some of them. Rabbi Arya Leibowitz, who's a Rebbe in Yeshiva Shalvim. A few other people, whatever. Should have given names, I don't know. Okay. Lemay, I don't know if they'd be okay with what I'm saying, but Lemaisa, it was my fault. I mean, I was the one who convinced them, and it was like four or five guys, and I said, come, this is Efrat, there's a bus station literally right outside Kolel, so we all just leave the Beis Medrash, and you know, the Madrichim, the Rabbanim, they think we're going to the bathroom, Mechvestisht, little they know, no, we're going to the Kaisel. So we get on the bus, and we go to the Kaisel. And it was one of the most inspirational days of my life. Again, it was wrong, and I should not have done it. I should have at least told somebody there. It was very irresponsible, very not safe. And I ended up getting in big trouble for it, and almost got thrown off NCS by Kolo for it. That's the truth. They were nice enough and had rachmanis not to. And they looked at me as the ringleader because I was a year older, and I mean, it was true, so... But why am I telling you this? So I sat literally the entire day, Tisha B'Av that year, I sat the entire day just at the Kaisel. And then, as you know, many all events, Ein Tzitz Raikola comes later in the day and forms a whole circle in the back and sings, so I eventually joined them for that. But I was there the entire day saying kinos, and it was really special. But the highlight, the most inspirational part, was the following. I'm sitting right in front of the Kaisel. Literally, I'm sitting on a... This is already later. It was in the afternoon. And I was still saying kinos. I'm sitting there at the Kaisel. And next to me is one of the guys I brought with me. I used to call him Mojak. Moshe Chaim Jacobowitz. He's sitting and learning still in Eretz Yisrael. He's still sitting and learning Eretz Yisrael from then. I mean, he finished high school. I'm saying from post-high school, he's still sitting and learning Eretz Yisrael. He's married to one of my close Talmidim's sisters, Bat Yehuda Gross. So he was sitting next to me, and we're both separately just saying kinos to ourselves. And somehow at the same time, we got up to this kino. B'tzeisim Mitzrayim, B'tzeisim Yerushalayim. And he heard me, but again, we're just saying to ourselves, I'm saying it, and he's saying it. And we start singing it together. We're sitting at the Kaisel, and we start singing it together. And I remember tears just start streaming down my cheeks. As I'm sitting Kaisel Ma'aravi, Tisha B'Av morning, with that kinah, B'tzeisim Mitzrayim, B'tzeisim Yerushalayim, and thinking about B'tzeisim Yerushalayim, sitting here only by a Kaisel, not by Beis HaMikdash. And there's a moment that's stuck with me until today, over 20 years later. But I think the chizik of it, I remember it being, it was just very emotional. but it was a chizik of this yesod as well. Of knowing, even though we're sitting here still and we're in galus, but just like Betzesi Mitzrayim, there's going to be Beshuvi Yerushalayim. And when you get to that pinnacle at the end, even though you're still in the middle of kinnis, there's some chizik that each and everyone will get, right? We were there this past Wednesday morning again, and when we say that kinnah and you get to that end, and it talks about the nechama and the simcha of Beshuvi Yerushalayim, in the middle of kinnis is already a chizik. Because you know it's true and you know it's going to happen. And that's the chizik of Pesach for now, of the nechama that we should have Shabbos Nachamu. And it's mamish this week's parasha. Listen closely. The Halig Imri Noyam. It says in Parshas Veschanon, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Tes. So the Pasuk says as follows. Raki Shomer Lecha. You should be careful. You should watch over yourself. Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od. Watch yourself a lot. Pen tishkach es advarim asher ro'einecha upen yasuru milovavecha. Because maybe you'll forget what you saw with your eyes. You'll forget in your heart and in your soul that which you saw in your eyes. What they're referring to? Gulas Mitzrayim, Itzias Mitzrayim, the Esther Makos, Kriyas Yamsov. The Torah is telling us in this week's parasha, don't ever forget that. And when don't ever forget that? Kol yamei chayecha, all the days of your life. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Beis and Beis says, Kol Yimei Chayecha is talking about B'mois HaMashiach. Meaning what? Don't forget that, because we have to have Chizik for Kol Yimei Chayecha. Don't ever forget that. V'odata L'vinecha V'imenecha. And let that be known to your children and your grandchildren forever. That there was Yetzias Mitzrayim. And just like there was Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's going to be Beshuvi Yerushalayim. And there's no greater Nechama. Even in the midst of the Tzaris. Even in the midst of the Golos. It's going to be good. The end is going to be good. We just haven't gotten there yet. And that's the chizik from Pesach and what we see in this week's parasha. And what greater nechama. What greater nechama. You know, we're giving shir tonight. Lili Nishmas, Yudit Glux, Yudit Hershkowitz. Her father. When you think about a yahrzeit, and you think so, and you a loss of life, and we go and we pay a shiva call, and we want to bring a nechama. We're bringing a nechama to anyone that knows there's going to be a time of tchias amesim. There's going to be a time when we're going to be reunited. Again, it might not be for a long time. I don't know when it's going to be. Anima b'chol yom shiyavo, but there's going to be a time we're going to be reunited. It's emes. This is a nechama. And we have to believe it. And the chizik comes from Pesach. So that's one yesod. But l'maisa, that's a thought. That's a machshava. That's an amuna and a bitachon that each and every one of us has to have. What can we do about it for the time being? What's our avoida to bring a nechama? What's our avoida as we've moved on from the 3 weeks? As we enter into Shevet and Nechamta, this man of Nechama, how could we bring ourselves in Nechama? What's our avoda? What should we be doing? So I think that as well is this week's parasha. And you just open up the parasha and it's in the very first episode, in the very first pasuk. The parasha starts out, Veschanan el Hashem be'eis hahi lemor. Moshe Rabbeinu davening to the Eibishter that he should be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's what we're davening for. What Moshe Rabbeinu did was he davened. Ve'eschanan el Hashem. Be'esayi means that time, means any time in all of history. Whatever the time is, we have to be davening. Ve'eschanan el Hashem. So you say, what kind of chizik is that? Read it for a few more psukim. Moshe's tefillos weren't answered. Moshe wasn't allowed into Eretz Yisrael. So I'm supposed to take chizik from that? Moshe never made it yet. Moshe's still buried outside Eretz Yisrael. What kind of chizik? Take chizik from tefillos that were not answered? Shkoyach, we talk about an episode of somebody we know who's not well, and you daven and daven ahead of refuah. It's big chizik, it's great. You want to give me chizik about davening to go into Eretz Yisrael from Moshe Rabbeinu v'Eschanan Hashem, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al toysev da'aber elai od ba'davar. Stop! No more! So I think I might have once shared with the Chevra, I don't know if all of you were there, if you heard this Torah, I feel I've definitely shared this Torah before, but it's just incredible. It's a Torah I heard from a Ephraim Waxman many years ago. Mamish, if all you came to hear this Torah, if all you heard tonight was this Torah, it was well worth coming, trust me. Because it's one of those Torahs that you, Mamish, okay, I'm here, so I don't think you should do it, but like, if I wasn't there, you guys should all be dancing. Like, it's that special a Torah. It's one of those Torahs that you see within the Torah, the authenticity of Torah itself. That, like, you can't make this stuff up. So Moshe Rabbeinu is davening, and v'eschanon el Hashem, he's davening to Hashem, v'eschanon, the Medrash already says here, v'eschanon is 515, gematria 515, which is exactly gematria tefillah. He davened 515 tefillos. It's also gematria shira, which tells you the highest level of tefillah is a shira, is a song, as the Levim were singing in Beis HaMikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, al toysev da'aber elai, don't continue. Why did Rabbeinu Shem Zed don't continue? You know why the Rabbeinu Shem Zed don't continue? Because if he would have continued, Hashem would have answered the tefillah, and it wasn't best for Klal Yisrael. Maybe we'll explain that in a little bit after. It wouldn't be best for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael. We'll say it very quickly. Rav Chaim HaKadosh explains in Parshas Shlach that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have entered Eretz Yisrael and would have built Beis HaMikdash, that would have been a Beis HaMikdash that never could have been destroyed. And if it would be a Beis HaMikdash that couldn't be destroyed, then what would have been when we mess up and when we did what we deserved? We would have been destroyed. Meaning it was a bracha that Hashem destroyed Beis HaMikdash and saved Klal Yisrael. He took out his anger and wrath on the Beis HaMikdash. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would have entered Eretz Yisrael, he would have built Beis HaMikdash, it never could have been destroyed. So by Moshe Rabbeinu not entering Eretz Yisrael, it saved Klal Yisrael. The Nesiv HaShalom, the Slana Rebbe, says this explicitly, and it's based on the Arachayim HaKadosh as well. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't supposed to. So Hashem says, al toysev da'aber elai. Don't continue to speak. Don't continue to daven, because if you continue, I'd have to answer you. In other words, what? Tefillah always works. As Rav Nachman of Breslau says, if you've davened and it hasn't been answered, because you haven't davened enough. So Hashem says, stop. Who continues? Listen to this, this is just incredible. So comes along many years later, and Moshe Rabbeinu has a great-great-granddaughter, a tzaddikus, who we all know, Esther Amalka. And Esther Amalka is in a very difficult predicament. Esther Amalka is trying to save all of Klal Yisrael, just like Moshe ended up saving Klal Yisrael by not going into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem says, Al toysev da'aber elai, don't continue. Listen to this. You could look at Megillas Esther, Perek Ches Pasuk Gimel. Va'toysef Esther. Esther continues. Hashem said to Moshe, Al toysef da'aber elai, don't continue. Exact same lashon, Esther, vatosef Esther. Esther continued. If you read in the Megillah, by the way, Esther wasn't speaking before or saying anything before. The pasuk before is where Achashverosh takes off the ring from Haman and gives it to Mordechai. And then vatosef Esther, Esther continues, but there's no previous. She wasn't speaking prior. What do you mean? She continued from what? You know who she continued from? She continued the tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu, where Hashem said, Al toysef, vatosef Esther. Esther continues. Vatidaber lifnei HaMelech, and she speaks to the king. Anywhere in the Megillah it says HaMelech, and it doesn't say Achashverosh. It's talking not just about Achashverosh, but it's talking about Melech, Malchim, Lachim. Vatoysef Esther, Esther continued. Vatidaber lifnei HaMelech, and she spoke to the king. What does it mean to speak to the king? She davened. Vatipal lifnei Raglav, and she fell before his feet. Vatef, and she cried. Vatischanen lo. Same exact lashon. Ve'eschanon el Hashem, Moshe, v'atischanen lo. And she davened to him. Same exact lashon, she pleaded. Take a step back. Before v'atischanen, before she davened, what did she do? V'atipal. She fell. Vatipal, Vav, Tav, Pei, Lamed, exactly Gematra, 516. Ve'eschanon, Moshe Davin's 515. And Hashem says, Al Tosef, don't continue, stop at 515. Vatosef Esther continues. Vatischanon, and she continues to Davin. Vatipal, she falls, and she Davins the extra tefillos, the 516, and her tefillos are answered and saves all of Klal Yisrael. Our tefillos will always be answered. We just have to Davin and Davin and Davin again. We just haven't Davined enough. And therefore, our avodah and what the pasuk and what the parish is telling us is don't stop davening. Don't stop davening to Hashem. And that will bring our nechama. When we have the emunah, we have the emunah that we know it's going to happen, as we've explained. From Pesach, it's going to happen. So what's our avodah? How are we going to bring it? Vatischanin, don't stop davening. Vatoisev, daven, daven, daven. Nocha v'li Yerushalayim erecha. Nocha et samach david avdecha. Let's not stop davening for Geula. But you know, sometimes I understand. Sometimes it's hard to daven. For all different reasons. Sometimes it's just repetitive and redundant. Bland. Sometimes it's hard to daven because we just don't feel worthy. We look at ourselves and we look at who we are and we look at our actions. We just don't feel roi. We don't feel worthy. We feel, why would Hashem answer my tefillahs? If we're still here in Galus and he didn't answer the tefillahs of the Vilna Gaon and the tefillahs of the Baal Shem and the tefillahs of Rav Kiva Eger, my tefillahs. First of all, to know all those tefillahs are being answered and are being held. And but sometimes it's hard, and sometimes we feel like, who am I to daven? So I want to share with you a derech of tefillah, a new derech of tefillah that I think could help this. When I saw this Torah earlier in the week, it gave me a big chizuk on a personal level. It's based on a medrash in this week's parasha. The medrash in Vaschanan says as follows. Amar Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the World, Kishetayroa benecha b'tzar, when you see your children in pain, ve'ein mi shivakish rachem emaleam, and nobody is asking for mercy on them, miyad oneosem, immediately you should answer them. So first of all, the request of Moshe Rabbeinu is very strange. When Hashem sees us in pain, and nobody's davening for some reason, then, first of all, Moshe has the audacity, miyad, immediately answer them? And what do you mean answer them? You just said they weren't dying, they didn't ask for anything. Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, Chayecha, B'chol Shosh Sheyikru Osi, Ani Eno Osam, T'chziv Kashem, L'kena B'chol Kareinu Elav. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's all good. Anytime they call out to me, I'm going to answer them. It sounds like we're on two different wavelengths, Moshe and Hashem here. Moshe just said, when they don't call to you, please answer them immediately, whatever that means. And Hashem says, don't worry, whenever they call to me, I'll answer them. What's going on? So B'nai Yisachar, the Halakha of B'nai Yisachar, he says as follows. He says, when people sometimes are so bitzar, so in pain, and they're spiritually low, and they're physically low, and they don't feel roi, they don't feel fit to daven, and they think they're going to be all different types of mekatrigim, there's all different types of forces that are going to take their tefillos and against them. We've created all these angelic figures that are going to go against us and not bring our tefillos to Hashem, and what are my tefillos? So what's the teretz? What can we do? So B'nai Yisachar says there's another derech of tefillah. You don't have to ask for anything. Don't ask for what you need and for what you want, because you don't feel raw, you don't feel fit that Hashem should answer you or give in to your tefillahs. You know what you do? Just praise Hashem for who He is. Give shavach l'Hashem. Recognize the greatness of Hashem. That Hashem is roifei cholim. And Hashem is matir asurim. And Hashem brings Yeshua. And Hashem brings gula. And He's hakel, hagadol, hagibur. Just recognize, give shavach. Praise God. Talk about the greatness of Hashem. B'nai Yisachar says, you know what happens when you talk about the greatness of Hashem? Hashem realizes, you see all this. You believe in all this. And he says to himself, even without you asking, how could I not? A person needs a refuah, and you're embarrassed to even ask for it because you know where you're holding. So just talk about, and in your tefillos, how amazing Hashem's koich of refuah is. And Hashem says, this person's talking in such a beautiful way about how could I not be merapa? How could I not bring refuah even before it's even asked? And that, the Bnei Yisrael explains this medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, when you see your children in tzar, v'ein mi shevakesh rachamim aleihem, and they mamish are not asking for rachamim because they don't feel worthy, but still miyad, what will they do? They're just going to praise you and talk about how wonderful and recognize how great you are. Miyad ones them, immediately answer them even before it's asked. Recognize what they really want to be asking for. And Hashem says, don't worry, anytime they call out to me, it doesn't say Yivakshu, Yikru Osi, because they're not asking, they're just calling to me, they're talking about me in the beautiful ways that we do in Shavach LaHashem. Hashem will take care of us. That's what the Gemara says in Barachos Lama Beis, in the beginning of this week's parasha. La'olam yisadar adam shvacho shal kadosh baruch hu v'acher kach yispalal. First we should talk about the greatness of Hashem, the praise of Hashem, and then ask, and then daven. That's how all of our tefillah is set up, right? First we have Shevach of Hashem, Akela, and then we have our Bakashos. And we learn it from this week's parsha, as the pasuk says, first, Veschanel Hashem, Hashem, Moshe is going to daven to Hashem, and what does he say first? Elokim atah chilosi laharos avdcha, es godlcha, es yodcha achazaka, shamiel v'shamayim v'arts, asher yasek v'asech v'urasecha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're awesome, you're mighty, you're amazing. You've shown your great hand. You're no one else is like you in heaven and earth. And then he says, "V'kasev basrei ebrana v'eres aretz atova." Let me go in. Let me see this land. Then he asks only after. But some of us won't even get to that. But that's okay. Just say the shevach. Just give shevach l'Hashem, to praise Hashem. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us in this medrash. And that's what each and every one of us has to learn how to daven like this, because that too is the greatest nechama. Besides, for then the Rabbanu Shalom will answer our tefillos, as the tefillos will eventually be answered. We just have to daven more. When we daven like that and give shevach Hashem, that itself will help us recognize everything Hashem does is for good. It will give us chizuk. It will give us hope. It will give us a nechama in the moment. And nechama, a comfort, a consolement, doesn't mean that the Geula came already, but it means I have a chizik in believing it's going to come. When you go and you pay a shiva call and you bring in a chama, did you bring the person back? The person's still not in this world, but you're giving chizik to the individual that they can move on, that life is going to be good, that everything's going to be all right. And that's what we have to believe. We don't have Beis HaMikdash and we're still in Galus, but we believe there's going to be Geula. We learned that from Pesach. And we know how to do it through our davening. And even when I can't daven through Bakashos, I can just praise Hashem, and that itself will bring me back to a place where I should be, in recognizing Godless of Hashem, recognizing the greatness of Hashem, recognizing who Hashem is. What greater nechama? What greater nechama? You know, we're coming on Tu B'Av. She said that's the yahrzeit of Yudit's father. Tu B'Av, we know, and it's already a Mishnah in Tainis Chavav Mebeis. Tu B'Av is a day was set aside, and I don't know, we're not going to go into it right now, why it's a day for Shiduchim. I actually plan on speaking about this later tonight. If anyone wants, you could listen either very, very late tonight or tomorrow. We'll hopefully be up on Yom Tov at some point. Why it's set aside as a day for Shiduchim. When it comes to Shiduchim, Shiduchim are sometimes difficult. Shiduchim is a hard parasha. A lot of us go through ups and downs and roller coasters, and all we want is just to be set, and all we want is just that person by our side. I think these are the two yesodas that brings us a nechama at this zman, when I realize still there's no Beis HaMikdash, but I'm going to have a nechama based on my amun and Hashem and my belief that it's going to be good. And together with my tefillos that are going to bring it, so too is exactly the mindset every single one of us has to go when we're going through this parasha of Shiduchim. First of all, we have to believe and understand, Bez Hashem, I'm going to find my Shiduch, and I'm going to find my Zivug. And it's going to be amazing and beautiful and wonderful, just like Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even though right now it seems so bleak. And what's in my koyach? I have to daven. And I have to daven more. And even at times when I'm afraid to bring the bakashas because I've asked so many times and I haven't been answered, so just talk about a godless of Hashem. And talk about how Hashem is the one that's Meshadech Shiduchim, Mzabek Zivugim. And I believe deeply those two Yesoidas will bring in a Chama for that as well. And that's why right from this Shabbos Nachamu, where these are the Yesoidas, we enter right into a Tu B'Av. Because the Shabbos before a week always is the Kedusha of the upcoming week. So I want to end by reading a story that I reread recently. And it was giving me chizik in this area. Specifically in the chizik of davening. And needing to daven more often. And any time, you know, when it comes to tefillah and this davening, this type of davening, you know, if Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tefillahs, and Esther Malka did 516, you know, if you take 515 and you divide it by 3, so it's going to take a very long time, right? It's going to take, what is that going to be, about 170 days, right? It's going to take a very long time to... Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't davening 170 days. When he davened 515 tefillahs, it didn't mean that he davened, we could only daven, we have 3 times a day and you can't daven any other time. Shachos Mincha Ma'ariv. It meant throughout the day, constantly, he was davening. He was non-stop davening. He davened and then maybe took care of something else and he davened again and he davened again and he davened again. And we have to also recognize tefillah, not just be'ez of Zman tefillah, of Shachos, of Mincha, of those also once in a while daven Ma'ariv, but I mean, we have to daven. Something happens, and a small thing, a big thing, right away, dive into the Rabbanu Shalom. Connect to the Eibishter, ask the Rabbanu Shalom. Whatever it is that's happening in your life. So listen to this story. I'm going to read it to you. Everybody knows that the holy Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Horowitz was called the Seir of Lublin, the Chayz of Lublin, for a very good reason. His eyes were so holy they could not only see everything that was happening in the world at that time, but could also look into the future. So in Yom Kippur, he knew exactly what heaven had decreed for all of his chassidim in the coming year. Often he chose not to say anything. But sometimes, when he thought they were strong enough to handle it, he told his followers what was in store. One Yom Kippur, the seer turned to Simcha Bunim of Shishcha. One of his closest students said, "It has just been decreed in heaven this year you will go bankrupt." Now the Shishcha was a really top pharmacist. He had a drugstore, and at that time he was very rich. But he knew that once heaven issues a decree, there's nothing you could do. He returned home from Lublin, and sure enough, right away his drugstore started losing money. So he thought, why should I wait until I mamish have nothing left? I might as well close my business right now. So he shut his pharmacy, gave whatever money he had to his wife, and decided to go to Warsaw. There he took a room in his favorite hotel, the place where he had always stayed when he was wealthy. And since he had no business to take care of anymore, he just remained in his room all day praying and learning. And you know, it's a funny thing. Everybody insists that poor people pay all their bills right away. But with rich people, nobody worries if they don't pay exactly on time, because they have so much credit. Simcha Bunim was well known in Warsaw. Everybody thought he was still rich, so he stayed in the fine hotel for weeks, eating and drinking whatever he wanted without paying a single penny. But after a couple of months, the Peshishcha started finding polite notes in his mailbox. "It has come to our attention that you haven't paid for your room for the last 8 weeks. We'd appreciate it if you would take care of your bill at your earliest convenience." So he went to the hotel clerk and said, "Please tell the manager that I'm so sorry about my bill. I've had so much on my mind I totally forgot, but they shouldn't worry. I'll cover everything very soon." A few days went by, then there was another note. It seemed the hotel management was getting anxious, because this was not so polite. "Your bill is now more than 2 months overdue. We insist that you pay it immediately." Rav Simcha Bunim didn't even bother to reply. Finally, one day, as the Peshishcha was learning in his room, there was a knock on the door. It was a bellboy delivering a note from the top man at the hotel. "I demand that you pay everything you owe us, today or else." This time, the Peshishcha was a little bit worried. He didn't let it show. He calmly said to the bellboy, "Please tell the manager that I understand. Right now, I'm busy with something very important." And he really was. He was learning Torah. "However, if you return at 6 o'clock, I'll take care of everything." But as soon as the porter was out of the room, Rav Simcha Bunim closed his eyes and started to pray. "Oy, God in heaven, what am I going to do? Everybody here knows I'm a Yid. If they think I'm cheating, the hotel will bring such dishonor to your holy name. But I mamish don't have the money. I was trusting you take care of the things. Master of the world, you got to fix this for me." And he went back to his learning. At 1 o'clock that afternoon, there was another knock on the Peshishcha's door. "Gavalti," he thought, "the bellboy has come already. Now what am I going to do?" He opened the door, a tiny crack, and looked out. Thank God it wasn't the porter. It was a different kind of messenger, in a smart uniform with gold trim. Rav Simcha Bunim accepted the letter the man handed him and opened it, and this is what it said. "Someone told me you're in town, and I couldn't believe my luck, because I need your help. I just fired my accountant. The stupid man lost me thousands of rubles because he couldn't even add. And I need to replace him immediately. I've heard you're a top man when it comes to business, so I'm offering you the job. I'll pay you anything you want. Please send your answer back with my valet. Signed, Madam Temeroff." The Peshishcha couldn't believe his eyes. Everybody knew about the Tamarufs. Most Polish Yidden at that time were very poor, but they were mamish millionaires, maybe even billionaires. The husband was a great Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, spent most of his time in the Beis Medrash. His wife ran all their business, had made all their money, and now the same Madame Temeroff was offering him a job. God was already answering his prayer, right? If someone went and took a pencil, wrote on the back of the note, "I have the skills, you have the cash. I'll only help you if you make me your partner." He folded up his answer and handed it to the messenger, and he went back to learning Torah. The day passed slowly. Pshishla kept checking his watch. It was 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Still no word from Madame Temeroff. From Simcha Budim started getting nervous. At 5:30, there was a knock on the door. "Rabbeinu Shalom, if the hotel bellboy is early, I'm really in trouble. I still don't have the money." He opened the door and couldn't believe what he saw. Madame Temeroff herself was standing there. "Simcha Budim," she said. "I mamish couldn't believe your answer to my note. What chutzpah to demand to be my partner. But at the same time, I was impressed by your daring, so I decided to come in person to find out what kind of person you really are. And now that I've seen you, I can tell that you're exactly the man I need." So the Pshishka and Madame Temeroff became partners. He told her about his trouble with the hotel, and she was happy to pay the whole bill. And then Rav Simcha Budim returned to Lublin and went straight to see the Holy Seder. The Seder only had to look at the Pshishka to know everything that would happen. He smiled at his chassid and said, "So you see, Simcha Budim, you're not bankrupt if you know how to pray. But there's one thing I don't understand. Why didn't you immediately grab the chance to become Madame Temeroff's accountant? Your mom, she didn't have a single penny. Where'd you get the strength to hold out for more?" "Holy Rebbe, it's really very simple. I could see that God was just beginning to open the gates for me, and I wanted to make him open them really wide." You're not bankrupt if you know how to pray. Every single one of us has to believe in that, and believe in the Koich of Tefillah. V'eschanan al Hashem. And that even though we're still in situations, Vada is all of Klal Yisrael with his Golus, and we're not yet Geula, and we all have our individual Tzaras, we have to have a moon in Hashem that it's all going to be good, like Yitzis Mitzrayim. And our avoid in the meantime is Veschanan al Hashem, to daven, to pray, and understand that if we could pray, we're never bankrupt if we know how to pray. And the Zchus of HaTfilos, each and every one of us should have all the Geula, and all the Nechama, and all the Simcha in our own personal lives, and for all of Klal Yisrael, until Bezer Hashem will be Zoycha to be as Mashiach, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'mheira B'yameinu. Beautiful Heilige Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos Nachamu, Mirat Hashem.